So welcome to our world, our beautiful, organized, perfect world.
We are far from perfect. Oh God. We're talking about a topic which is extremely important in business and in family and in life, and it's a lack of clarity.
Yeah.
Which obviously we just were talking for the last 16 minutes and no one's job was to unmute us.
Yeah.
Lack of clarity. Mm-hmm. I'm married to an audio engineer, so I'm just going to blame him.
We just kind of jumped in. You know, at least I know I'm very clear on my responsibility is the coffee, getting the coffee ready. And then jumping on, I ended up grabbing the mics this time, plugged them in. Typically, it's a 50-50 on who takes care of the mics and gets it running. And so we're going to go ahead and kind of rewind. And I'm going to put this back in after we talk about what we're going to talk about.
Put what back in?
I'm going to plug this in as our missing game plan, our missing microplays, our missing ownership.
Okay.
On who owns what.
Okay. Well, we were talking and we wanted to talk about today, like we're trying to pick a topic on clarity or lack of clarity when you're running a business. Okay. Well, take your 15-minute break and then come back and do the rest. Lack of clarity on certain topics when it comes to like family and business and, you know, what happens when Chris, you know, you're married to the person you work with.
Mm-hmm.
And so at breakfast the other day, I kind of had to have it wasn't at breakfast. When did I have that conversation with you about why are you staying up all night? It was a few days ago.
Right. It continued through breakfast. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, the story is I saw Chris staying up all night to do certain things. And I'm like, Chris, what are you doing? Like, no, granted, I've had all nighters. I've done certain things, but Chris has a team of like five or six guys, they're all guys. So we can just, you know, guys. And I'm like, why are you staying up all night? Like what's going on? You know, certain things weren't getting done on time. There was no like lack of communication on what things are being updated. Where are certain projects?
Or deadlines were slipping and it was a mad rush.
And then it was a rush. Then everything feels chaotic. Like it's like, oh my God, I need it. And we're live in 30 minutes for something. And I need this feature push out or I need this product done or an update or a bug fixed.
Yeah.
And you're like down to the wire. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but there's something broken here. There's an issue. And that was my observation is like, why is this last minute? You guys knew about this.
Yeah.
And then I would see Chris up, you know, working until 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, why are you working till 3 o'clock in the morning? You have an entire team.
Yeah.
And so for all my owners out there, I want you to ask yourself the same thing. If you have a team, even if it's an admin, if it's an assistant, it doesn't matter. If it's a salesperson, why am I staying up all night trying to get something done like CRAN session? Now, sometimes there are owner things that we have to do, right? I said, if it's not an oh shit moment, like this is going to save us, then it does not warrant you staying up all night.
Yeah.
Especially when you have a team or at least one person or two people. And what's happening, and I kind of had to have that conversation with Chris on like here's what I see. I'm not sure what's going on because I've kind of kept my hands out of it as a non-technical founder. I've kind of kept my hands out of some of the product and tech. I just tell them what I want.
Yeah.
And I tell Chris when I need a buy, but Chris wasn't delaying that message properly.
Right. So me diving in with the tech team or the dev team, the product team, our team grew significantly compared to how we were moving previously. So so a lot of it really stemmed from just these deadlines that we set for these projects. We may have had, let's say, because we have our daily meetings. We have we call them sprints. They're like 15-minute huddles for those that are actually doing or delivering projects. And so we have these inside of the product team, which is every single day is that sync on kind of like the priorities. We do what's new, what's now, what do you need? So new, now, need. For us, it helps us to go a little bit faster. But the problem is that we, in doing these meetings and in doing these sprints and having this outcome, this end goal, this deadline, what I did is I only set a deadline for the end goal of all the things, and I didn't put the points in between. And so what ended up happening is that...
An example is like, I want to be a $2 million company by the end of the year, but what are the markers that you have to hit at certain milestones to be able to achieve that in a realistic way versus I just want to be a $2 million company.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's December 29th and you're not 2 million and you're like, oh shit, like why didn't I get to 2 million?
I got 2 days left.
And you're not going to hit that.
Yeah.
You're just not going to hit it.
Yeah. Unless you give massive, massive discounts.
You're still not going to hit it.
No. So I went through and yes, we had an end goal. We had an end date. We had this scope, this project. Everybody was on board and they were doing their thing. We'd have these meetings and say, these are the priorities. Da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, this person's owning this. This person's owning that. And let's break. Okay, great. We're all working throughout the day. We're just doing our thing. About 4 o'clock, I was getting ready to basically deliver one of the features for some of the software. And comes down to about 3 o'clock and Libby's like, hey, is this ready?
Is this ready?
Like, and I'm like,
I need it.
Let me check on it because I thought it was going to be. And then I checked on it and it's like, it's not there. And then 3:30, it's not there.
I'm like, I got 30 minutes, guys.
3:45, it's still not live. And so I ended up having a scramble and there was this massively chaotic moment of basically an essential feature.
So here's the thing,
yeah.
Before you keep going, it wasn't a massively chaotic moment one time. This was happening over and over and over again. I mean, for my owners out there, is this happening in your company over and over and over again? And the first thing I told to Chris is that that's not fair to your team. The fact that you weren't clear on the expectations of the delivery date, not of the end product, it's a long time away, but of these certain milestones, that's not fair to them.
Yeah.
Like for them, like it's not fair. Nobody told them. Now it's 30 minutes and I need it in 30 minutes. And he's harping on one of the guys. And I'm saying, that's not his fault.
Yeah.
And so you got to ask yourself as a leader, as an owner, am I doing this to my team? Am I setting them up? And then all of a sudden I'm putting this, you know, unfair pressure on them because I wasn't fair in my expectations in my delivery.
Not even the expectations,
or
but
the time frame of the delivery.
What specifically what outcome I needed and by when? Because if that were known, then I could guarantee you that because of the team that we have, it would not have been an issue.
Oh no, it would not have been at all. But I think that is the like chaos under the chaos we get ourselves into as owners and managers is the unreal expectation, like not setting clear expectations of I need this by this date. I need you to do it in 30 minutes. I need you to do it by end of day versus I just need you to do this. And then time expands or there's other things that come into play.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's not done. And then you're pissed off because it's not done.
Yeah. I was,
and that's how we lose really great people.
Yeah.
And it's true. It's how we lose really great people. It's not fair.
Yeah. And so through a series of, let's say, days or weeks, I was, quote unquote, chaos stacking. These were...
It's like, who's done that before?
These are those micro moments of just the chaos that just so happens to come circling back. And because one thing happened, it kind of teed off misdirection.
So you're now playing catch up with all the other things has stacked and it's behind.
Yeah. And so now it kind of teed off this, again, it's a butterfly effect of one thing affects another, it affects another, affects another.
I like that chaos stacking.
Yeah. But, and so, you know, revisiting that, coming back to that, it all stems, I'll just say this right now, is it all stemmed because I didn't have clarity, extreme clarity on what needed to happen.
Hold on. And I want to fix that. Yeah. You had the clarity.
I had the clarity.
He didn't communicate.
I never delivered it. I never communicated it.
The clarity.
Yes.
Because as his manager, I would like to have speak my piece on, I did share with you by when I needed it done. And you had days prior.
Yeah.
But when he, it's kind of like, this is why I've never really liked like the integrator role in EOS.
Middle
like,
management.
It's middle management. And it's like the delivery, the message, who here, if you're watching and you, or you're listening and you felt that pain, it's like a game of telephone.
Yeah.
But I said, like, I gave you enough time, but then when he re-delivers the message to the team, that got lost somewhere in translation.
Little bits and pieces. Yeah.
Bits and pieces came through. It's like a game of telephone. And all of a sudden you wonder, like, am I losing my mind? Didn't like, why is this all of a sudden chaos? And I am not an operator of chaos. I will not, I used to like pride myself on never being late and like being on time. And I still do, but in return, I would rush and like it was chaos behind the scenes. Now, I don't care if I'm late or not. I am not rushing into anything or into any decision. Just call me late.
Yeah.
But I pride myself on being very organized with the time frame of always giving them enough time or expectation of time and not rushing them. But then I started to see things stack up and get behind. And I'm like, why is this happening? Because you had the time and I told you the time.
Yeah.
But it's like the integrator versus visionary role. Or when you have middle management, it's like a game of telephone and the message changes as it gets passed down through people. And that's what makes you think you're losing your mind.
Yeah. And so, yeah, circling back is those, essentially what ended up happening is, yeah, it got out of control. And all because what I didn't do was I didn't set those clarity moments as those checkpoints for everything, not just the end goal, but for everything. Not that I have to micromanage, but it's more of a what needs to be true for each item through this process.
Yeah, it's pretty cool when your team members use your own methodology and phrases against you.
Oh, no, they no, no. So they...
They're like, Libby, or we got to keep this one layer deep. I'm like, but you're right.
So
even ChatGPT uses it against me now.
Yeah.
Libby, that's not one layer deep. I'm like,
no.
Shit,
so, right. So some of the team members, they saved my ass because in going through a few of these sprints, these quick little huddles, they circled back and they recapped and said, okay, so what needs to be true? And they said that to me and they asked me. And I'm like, glad you asked because I wasn't going to say it because I had like 15 different things that was sparkling through my brain. But what they said was what needs to be true. So I just basically honed in on that one thing and gave them that explicit instruction. And now all of a sudden it was like, boom, I got it.
So we covered the friction, the story, like what was the observation I saw? And then I had to have that difficult conversation with Chris. And Chris is funny because when I give Chris feedback, he gets all like,
yeah.
I was like, sweetie, you look like your puppy got run over.
So it used to take me dead serious. It used to take me like a full 2 weeks to recover from a hard conversation.
Yeah. Maybe now it's 2 hours.
Yeah. And then I got down to 2 days and then 2 hours.
Yeah. And so I had to like kind of say, Chris, this is not fair. What you're doing to Alfredo right now, it's not fair because we knew this was happening. Why is it 30 minutes before and all of a sudden I need it now? And I'm like, No, that is not his fault. That is your fault.
Yeah.
And I said, and then he would be pulling all-nighters. I'm asleep. I sleep great, by the way. I'm asleep. And I'm like, what are you doing? And I've had all-nighters and I've done them. I was talking about a story in January where I did them to create the operating system for Leia. 180 documents in there that are the core foundation. No one on my team has ever owned or ran a business. So I had to make those. That would come from my experience and my knowledge and my failures and my successes. No one else could make those. And yeah, I pulled all-nighters to do those. But what we were trying to achieve like this last week wasn't saving a business or creating like a core framework that, you know, runs the business. It was just core projects.
Yeah.
Or not core projects, just projects.
Yeah.
And I saw Chris like not sleeping. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, what are you doing? Well, it didn't get done in time, but I'm like, but whose fault is that? And so I hate having these conversations with Chris. They've gotten easier because he can get through them faster. But I said, you know, the first thing I finally, when I said something was when he was putting pressure on one of the like team members and it was unfair pressure.
Yeah.
And I'm like, definitely. That's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's your fault. Or it goes back to my fault. As being the top leader, but it's also, like I said, that game of telephone, as in how does that message get passed down? But I said, at the end of the day, it wasn't his fault. It was your fault or my fault. And that's not fair that it's 30 minutes. I need you to drop everything you're doing and do this right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, no, either we're just not going to roll that out or talk about that, or it's not going to be ready versus trying to put unfair pressure on somebody.
Yeah.
And that's as owners and managers, we need to really, it all comes down to communication skills. We need to make sure we're putting, like, if we're putting pressure on someone, it's fair pressure. It's not like because we lacked clarity or communication. Because it's funny, when I was in a meeting with you and some of the other guys, they all loved pressure. They worked well under pressure, even you.
Yeah.
But not the pressure that was caused by lack of clarity or miscommunication.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not, so it's planned pressure.
It's planned pressure, yeah. And so we talked about like some of the hidden chaos we saw, right? Putting these things on people that were our fault.
Yeah.
And I think as leaders and owners, we suck at communication. I think communication skills are one of the most underrated skills. Mm-hmm. Like that we want to buy like a sales course or like a...
Three sales courses.
Or we want to like sign up for like more playbooks. And I'm like, but if you can't even communicate clearly to your team on what you want with confidence, then there is no playbook or sales course in the world that's going to help you with that.
No.
It's learning how to communicate and what you want and not being afraid to say, I need this by June 1st. Like, yeah. That's it. Not, can you do it?
How hard is that?
I need it to by June 1st.
Yeah.
Well, I think for me personally, it was hard when I lacked confidence in myself.
Yeah.
You can't show up and ask for something and say, I need this by June 1st. No. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Or maybe, or if. So for some of you guys that are coming to our customer execution lab, I'm teaching the CEO how to build your CEO brand. I have a little, besides the actual training that I'm giving you on to build that brand, that persona, I'm actually going to give you guys a little bonus training. And it's actually how to show up that way. So how to speak, how to show up on camera, how to actually say things using that persona. How do I then deliver my message with clarity? How do I speak with confidence? How do I speak slower? And so it's not an etiquette class, but it's more in a class on how do I up-level my communication skills when it comes to showing up in a room, showing up on a video, even showing up in a picture. How many times have we saw a picture of ourselves and we were disappointed in the way we looked in that picture?
Yeah.
And so I'm excited because I'm building that little mini course and giving it away to the people who are coming to our customer execution lab. Because you could build the persona all day long. You could build the brand. But if you don't know how to show up, you don't know how to communicate with clarity and confidence, then the brand's going to go nowhere.
Yeah.
But so what were some of the patterns? I can tell you some of the patterns I saw, but if we want to like really drill down and get a little bit deeper, so the listeners, maybe they're not noticing the patterns. Maybe the patterns are there. Or what are some of either the operational patterns or the breakdowns or the emotional patterns or system issues?
So the simplest pattern is, for me, is assumptive. It was assumptive behavior. It was living inside of your head. And for me, it was living inside of my head. And not having taken the time to actually literally write down, because we have this, we have the project board, we have everything there, but literally writing down, you know, what, when, and who for each thing, each item in the way that I got it. And so I need this by this day at this time for this reason. What I should have done is in adding those things to do, those project scopes, is putting that target date, that target time, before I handed it off. Because without handing it off, and that's the thing, is with the ACTS thing, is the framework, is that, you know, it's acknowledge, call to action, time frame, and schedule it. Is that you acknowledge what it is that you need, the what and the why, and then it's like, what I need is specifics. But the time frame wasn't clearly set, and it wasn't scheduled or blocked on the calendar. Because again, I say this all the time, is that your calendar is your Bible. So follow it. But if it's not on there, then it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So for me, it was each milestone, each task didn't have the time frame and wasn't scheduled clearly. And so that never followed through. And I've learned about myself. And I say this all the time when I take phone calls. I say, tell you what, can you email me everything that you just said? Because I will not remember a single thing. But I never took that back into a lot of the side conversations.
Yep.
To actually plug it in to make sure that nothing gets lost.
Yeah. I totally get that. So for me, some of the breakdowns I saw, like to go a little bit deeper, was Chris staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning. Why are you doing this? Like, you have a team. What's going on? Again, it wasn't like a Hail Mary moment. It wasn't like save the company kind of moment. It was just little deadlines needed to be met and they weren't met. He was staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning to do some of these things that were supposed to get done.
Yeah.
The next thing I saw, or breakdown I saw, was things not getting done until like the last literal second.
Yeah.
And I mean literal second. And I'm like, this is not the way I want to operate. This is causing me too much stress. If you're feeling stress in your business, you have to ask yourself, is it because we're always behind? We're always not meeting deadlines, goals. Like, we're not meeting things. And that can cause extreme anxiety. And I said, this is not the way I operate. Like, I can't, I'd rather just not do this than do it the very last second. And I work well under pressure, but there's also controlled pressure versus like chaos pressure.
Yeah.
Those are two different things. And so I kind of just, I saw that breakdown of him like staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you staying up? And then, cause he has a team. If he has a help, he's got helpers,
yeah.
team members. And then, you know, are things not meeting the deadline? Because right now in this day and age with AI and technology, time is so compressed. Oh. Things that used to take you 90 days to do, you can do it 9 days right now. Like literally 9 days versus 90 days. And so time was not the issue because they had plenty of time.
Time frame was the issue.
Yes. And so those are some of the issues, like breakdowns I saw happening. Because I wasn't in the minutia of, was it scheduled? I don't see it on a calendar. I don't micromanage at all. But I just, when the outcome was supposed to be there, it was like, huh, it wasn't happening. And then, you know, he wasn't operating from a leader. If you have leaders in management, how are they operating? Are they stressed out? Are they assuming work that they should not be taking on? Because if you have a team, it's about delegation and distribution. It's not about assuming all of the work. And it wasn't all the work. It was all the work that was due.
Right.
It wasn't all the work. It was the work that was due at that time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think those are really interesting, like, patterns to see. Like when we just really go deep, how do we see these things emerge? And then, you know, I'll be honest with you, when you're a business owner, and I will say this is for me too, if I get stuck in these ruts, because it happens, it's an evolution. We grow our business to another size and then we hit another struggle. We, you know, we hit struggles and there's seasons of learning and implementation and seasons of rest. You know, for me, I don't have anyone to really call me out when I do these things. Chris doesn't call me out very much. I'd like him to call me out more. Chris is laughing. You know, Chris had the benefit of, I saw it from the outside. I'm like, oh, I don't, because if someone's not calling them out, guys, this is when your leadership and your management team fails because they get just so overwhelmed, so stressed out. They quit. They leave. They hate the job. And it's like, I saw the pattern and I needed to call it out. I needed to, but who calls out the owner? If you're a solo owner, if you just got a couple people helping, or if you're just a solo owner, like maybe you don't have employees, mm-hmm. or maybe you do have employees, but they're not calling you out. They don't see you up at 3 o'clock in the morning saying, hey, why are you up at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Right. The only time you know, and I see Rico was on here earlier, he leads our virtual specialist, the VS program. But every once in a while, he'll go ahead and he'll comment in randomly at a time that he shouldn't be worrying about it.
You know, I'm like, why are you here?
Yeah.
Go away. No, I'm not. No, you don't have to go away. But if it's off hours, he'll pop into a conversation. I'm like, why are you here? Aren't you supposed to be sleeping right now?
Yeah.
And, you know, for owners, who's calling you out? Who's telling you you're lacking clarity or you're not communicating thoroughly? No one until you start to lose great people, lose great employees.
I've lost great people. I've been the reason why I've lost great people.
Yeah. And, or if you have management and you don't live with them or sleep with them, you're not going to know if they're assuming or carrying the weight of things they shouldn't be because they don't know how to communicate. Or they lack clarity.
And it's a learned skill.
It is a learned skill. But if no one's calling it out to you saying, hey, like pointing out those breakdowns.
Yeah.
Pointing out like the patterns.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is like the third time this has happened. What's going on?
Yeah. And so I like to take this back with, you know, my experience of, let's say the timeframes, the deadlines, the clarity. I wasn't delivering that. And realizing it was that there was a certain level of clarity that happened, but in this new world that we were working in is that because time compressed, I didn't adapt to the way that things needed to happen in this new world. And so taking that away, I always remember or think back to, you know, we say like with one layer deep is first comes just the mechanical practice, the rhythm of it. And from the rhythm comes the habit, and from the habit, the mindset. And then it turns into culture, and then it becomes instinct. And so it goes through these phases, But at first, it's that repetition. It's that just doing it in emotion to make sure at least you get the first part of it that sticks. And so taking that back is just the motions of capturing. Does it have a time frame? Is it scheduled?
So that was my question. Thing. Somebody says, well, I often forget. I forget nothing. I'm going to tell you that right now. Now, I don't remember certain things that are not important, but I don't. And so Chris probably hates to be married to me because of the way my brain works. I don't forget anything.
Right.
Like I can quote people. And it was funny the other day, Rigo in Woot Recruit said something. I said, Rigo, I'm always right. I'm like, and Chris is like, I cannot believe you just said that to him. But I'm always right. And it's not because I'm always right. It's because I remember, like photographic memory, remember.
Not photographic. So her brain works more like a computer where it stores zeros and ones, but it can't visualize.
No, yeah. I can't visualize anything. So I don't daydream. So that's easy.
Yeah.
But Chris can relate with the I often forget.
Yes.
So for those that often forget, what are some of the things they can do to kind of take away with some actual like action?
So it started with me personally, with my personal life, with myself. And the things that I did very, very micro, very small, so I didn't forget, is I started with obsessing over my calendar and obsessing over alarms. And I say this because I'm going to try to pull it up here, but I had to obsess, and I overcorrected, and I did it for a reason, is because I overcorrected with setting alarms and obsessing over it because there's something that happens through your brain. It's the regression to the mean. It's basically that reset. You reset back down to a certain level. And so I'm going to see if I can share it here.
Meanwhile, I have one alarm on my phone.
Yeah. And so I'm over here, like, I probably have about 30 different alarms set. I erase them every once in a while. And you'll see some that are, I don't know if anybody can see it here. You have some here, and you're going to notice a few. That's my workout alarm. And then a few others. I have some pretty stupid alarms here, but one of them is for working out. Again, at least 3 times a day, I have an alarm popping up and it says, it used to say get sexy.
Yeah.
And then I changed it to get really sexy because I had to start pushing myself harder. And that was a way for me to do it. But I started with the personal. I obsessed over setting alarms for everything. Nowadays with electronics, what you can do is you just push or hold the side button if you have an iPhone. If you have an Android, I don't know what the heck you guys do, but there's stuff there apparently that you can do yourself. But I hold the side alarm and I say, set me an alarm for 3:15 to blah, 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 whatever it is. Because whenever Libby says something, I know sure as hell that I'm going to forget it. And so what I'm going to do is as soon as I hear her say it, I'm going to turn, grab my phone, and I'm going to do set an alarm for, it sounds dumb. I sound like an idiot because the fact that you just said it and I want to go ahead and say it right away.
Yeah.
But this is what I needed to overcorrect. To the point to where I don't have too many alarms going now because it became, again, it was the motion of the rhythm that became the habit, that became the culture of what I'm doing now. But I had to obsess over the calendar and I had to obsess over the alarms until it got to a point to where I could go ahead and take the training wheels off.
That's a good point, though. Like the training wheels, it has become a habit. So back to my like organizing skills and days, you know, it takes 21 days statistically to establish a habit or to break an old habit to like incorporate a new habit. And then, you know, there's that whole theory where you can anchor a new habit to an old habit, right? If I drink coffee every morning, that's a habit. And if I want to start reading the news every morning, then I can just read the news while I drink my coffee. I don't recommend you read the news. But that's just an example of like anchoring a new habit to an old habit. But to establish a habit, they say it takes anywhere from 17 to 21 days. So we just say 21 days. And so maybe you need training wheels. You know, and April said, I wish I had her memory. Well, my memory is great for some things, but it's not great for other things. Like I don't have the ability to envision or imagine something. And so it is very literal, like X's and O's, and it doesn't have a lot of emotion tied to it. So I think more like a man, I would say.
Yeah. And I think more like a woman.
Yeah. Set alarms for particularly and turn off notifications. Yeah. Yeah. My phone never rings ever. So if you call me, I'm never going to answer it. It doesn't ring because then it would ring all the time. I don't even have a lot of alarms for productivity because they're scheduled in the calendar.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where you do need training wheels and you have to stop lying to yourself about like, are you going to remember to do it? Or do you need help to remember to do it? You know, are you going to meet the deadline, or do you need someone to hold your feet to the fire kind of deadline? It's really interesting because I think we all want accountability until we get it.
Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Can you ask that question again that you would typically ask? Is can you meet the deadline? Can you, what did you say?
I don't know what it is.
I think you said, like, can you meet the deadline? It was typically, this is something that you ask, and you ask me or you ask somebody else. First thing that comes out of my mouth, or what used to.
Oh, stop lying to yourself. And can you actually meet the deadline?
Yes. Can you actually meet the deadline? First thing that would come out of my mouth is, yes, I can.
Everybody says yes. Please stop telling me what you think I want to hear.
Yeah. And I say that because this is the overcorrection that I had to do also, is to just shut up for a minute and just think about it before you answer. I literally had to tell myself that in my head, is just stop, wait, pause, don't answer it yet, think, then speak. And it's a work in progress for me, but having that self-check moment to be able to say, actually, I do need some help, or actually, I'm not 100% sure I can get the whole project done myself. I might need to split it out. And then that's where the conversation starts to open up.
Yeah. And I think we lie to ourselves a lot instead of just being true or being real. Cause we have this weird feeling with like letting people down. And I don't care if you're an owner or an employee, a lot of like our team members overcommit sometimes and under deliver because they're like, oh yeah, I can do it. I'm like, can you? Like, you didn't even think about it. Like, can you? But then as an owner, like I do the same thing sometimes to, you know, other things, is I overcommit and then you underdeliver, and then that's what makes you feel bad. That's what makes you feel like, you know, that's what chips away at our confidence and our, emotional, like our self-esteem, is when we overcommit and we underdeliver, but we overcommit without even processing or thinking. We're just lying, and we don't even know that we're lying to ourselves.
Yeah.
It's not that you're lying on purpose. It's just, oh yeah, sure. Like, oh, anything. I'm like, no, like, that's not what I'm looking for.
By the way, in our company, there's a few cardinal sins that you never speak of. One is you're the boss.
Yeah. Please don't tell me you're the boss. No. Nope.
Second is anything you want.
Yeah. Please don't say that.
I'll do whatever you want. I'll do anything you want. Sounds nice, but it doesn't give the right input for how you can run best. But that's a whole separate topic. But
yeah, and yeah. I mean, you know, like, so Dallas is saying 100%, Chris, that happens to me so much. So that was one of the biggest issues in our marriage. It started without, like, in our marriage.
Yeah,
I would say something to all, like, here, all the wives can probably contest. You say something to your husband, and then, like, hey, we're gonna go to dinner at 6 o'clock on Tuesday with, you know, Tim and Maria. and then here comes Tuesday and it's 5:30 and you're like, are you ready? And you're like, ready for what? Where are we going? Oh, I can't go. Like, Yaya has Girl Scouts. And I'm like, I told you 4 weeks ago we were going to dinner at 6 o'clock on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding? And it started in our marriage quite often. And that's when you became religious about the calendar.
Yes.
Like when he came very... Then it bled into work. Cause at that time, I don't think you were working with us. You were still in audio.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Because, well, so here's the thing, is that before with audio is traveling, you kind of had these deadlines anyways that you had to meet. You knew that you had a show that started specifically at a specific time. You knew that it was subjective, but load in started the moment that the bus was parked. When you heard that truck backing up, you're like, shit, I'm late. So it was a very controlled environment that I didn't need a schedule.
Yeah. And so then and that's kind of when we felt that friction at first. I don't forget anything, but he would forget everything.
Yes.
And then it just didn't work. Cause my brain operates very literally, like the X's and O's, like Chris said, and he's more sparkly.
So I know it with Aaron and stuff. That's chapter 7, the elephant and the fish.
Oh yeah. More sparkly. And so I'm like, oh my God, I just told you blah, blah, blah. And so then when he learned that habit in our marriage, he carried that over into work, which helped him tremendously in work.
Yeah.
But I think because if it's not first nature to you and you don't you practice it to a certain point, but then you don't incorporate it into like the next thing, the next level.
Yeah.
It starts to get watered down.
Yeah. It's skill stacking.
Mm-hmm. So love this topic. And I love your action was to live by your calendar, right? I think for me, when I get myself into this, For me, it's more around simplification, like simplifying, is going through that, deleting stuff out of my life. If I can't remember something, I have too much going on in my life. I have too many commitments, or I'm overcommitting, or I have too much on my schedule, too much on my plate. For me, my action or my suggestion, because Chris was live by the calendar. Mm-hmm. I used to do that, and now I don't at all. I have like literally nothing on my calendar.
You don't need to.
No, I don't need to. But I think when I get myself into that, it's like I've overcommitted and I need to kind of like pull.
It's a good sign.
And what do I need to pull back on? So like right now I'm in like the delete mode. I'm like deleting everything out of Google Drive and delete calendars and delete events. And I'm like, do I need to come to this? Not really. And delete things, like just delete apps on your phone and delete, like we live in so much clutter that the clutter to me, for me, is what's causing me to not be clear, not communicate clearly, not show up transparently. And how do I remove the excess clutter? And most of my clutter is digital.
Yeah.
Our house looks like a hotel. There ain't a personal, people come in our house all the time. There's not one personal item, picture. Well, unless Yaya made us a picture that's on the refrigerator. There is not one personal picture item in our home.
And that's why we can confidently say the terms. We have the term hotel ready.
Yeah, our house is like a hotel. So I don't have physical clutter in my life, but I have a lot of digital or mental clutter in my life, being an owner and an operator and with the kids and everything we have going on. And I'm like, for me, my one action or suggestion to you guys, the micro move, is to simplify the delete. We are hoarders of information, hoarders of, let me sign up for this. And there's another class and there's like this and like, somebody's giving away a playbook and this download. And we're hoarders of information. And I was guilty of it too. And I'm like, I am in the deletion mode, because complexity does not scale. If you're trying to scale your business, it's simple scales.
And so I was hoarding responsibilities.
Okay. And so we had this conversation. We're going to backtrack a little bit. What is one of the biggest, your biggest self-sabotaging tendencies?
Not wanting to inconvenience somebody.
So why were you hoarding responsibilities?
Because I didn't want to inconvenience the team, which was counterproductive because they thrived. Again, we use the internal phrasing, they're the Black Ops team, because they thrive in high pressure environments, planned pressure environments.
Yeah. So it's all that like self-work. You know that you're a self-sabotaging tendency. And I think because you think you fixed it here, and I think it continues, and I know for me, for a fact, my self-sabotaging tendency is I stick too tight to my morals, which sounds like a great, sounds like a great characteristic or trait, but I stick so tightly to my morals that I destroy myself. I will sink with it. And so that's why for me, I have to assess, what have I committed to? What can I delete or remove because I've taken on too much? That's my self-sabotaging tendency. That's why I go back to, that's what I need to look at. Where Chris is, his self-sabotaging tendency is he doesn't want to inconvenience people.
Yeah.
And so he was hoarding the responsibilities, which I think is a great topic or term. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you guys, are you hoarding responsibilities in your team or in your business instead of transferring those responsibilities?
Setting that free.
Transferring. One of the biggest things we get. So we have the VS program, the One Layer Deep Virtual Specialist program, where we help you find one layer. Well, we find you remote staff, and they're One Layer Deep certified. I'm getting actually remake the certification tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I'm just excited because it was made based off of the book, which is the physical way to get one layer deep. But now we have the AI. So I'm remaking it so that they understand the AI a little bit more. But one of the biggest things or pushbacks we get in the virtual specialist program is that, I'm not ready yet. I got to get stuff organized. I'm not ready yet. And I'm like, that's the whole point.
Right.
Of getting a virtual specialist is to help you. It's the transfer of trust and responsibility that someone can help you get things ready, can help you with the business. But that's how you know in yourself, you are still like operate, you're still hoarding responsibility. Yeah, and it's hard to hear, but it's a good sign to know. Like, and when you say, oh, and that was one of my other self-sabotaging tendencies was the phrase, I'm not ready yet. Because it was my way of getting out of things without saying yes or no. Mm-hmm. It was just saying, I'm not ready yet. So I felt good because I was not saying no. And I felt good because I wasn't saying yes. It was just like I had all these things like halfway decided.
Yeah.
And so nothing was ever decided, but I didn't say no.
Right.
But I just said, oh, I'm not ready yet.
Yeah.
And that's how I knew that if I say that, I wasn't, you know, you're hoarding responsibility because you're not willing to hand it off or communicate it to someone else clearly. And so in fact, you aren't ready yet. You want to be, and you think you are, but if you say that phrase, then you're not. Or one thing I've noticed, right, between the VS program and we meet with the VSs, I'm actually in the community chat with them. I see what they're doing. We set up trainings for them. I'm somewhat heavily involved in the VS program, supporting Rico, but seeing that, and then we have our OS1 program, right? Which is for operators who want to like literally run on a system. Is that we think we want something until we get it.
Oh, yes.
We think we want something. We want it. We know we're supposed to do it, but so-and-so does it that way. And I seen them do it this way. And I want this and I want that. And we want it. I just, like I said, with accountability, we want it until we have it. And then when we have it, because in the OS1 program, you have to give me your homework. I want screenshots of your homework. Man, do people not, they wanted accountability. And then when they got it, they're like, oh man.
Is that Mary J. Blige song? Is it?
Which one?
Bad Boys?
Yeah. I can't remember the title of it.
Yeah.
But it's like, we want these things until we have them. And then you're like, oh man, maybe I don't want these. And so those are just some key signs to look at. Know your self-sabotaging tendencies, because those are typically the bottlenecks. Like for me, it was overcommitting. So my action here would be, I need to simplify. I kind of need to do an audit, clean up my calendar, like bow out to some things. And for me, oh my God, that was the hardest thing for me to do ever, is like leave something, leave a program, like leave BNI, like leave something, because I felt like a loser.
Had to commit.
I felt like a loser because I was bowing out. And other people in those programs, like those things make you feel like a loser because they literally call you a loser for leaving. But it was my self-sabotaging tendency that like, I'm not a loser. I'm just, I need to really get aligned on what do I need right now?
Yeah.
What do I need right now to show up the way I need to show up? And so for me, it was so hard to clear my calendar. So hard to like say, hey, I can't pick up your kids for basketball practice anymore. Like, hey, I can't be on the PTA board anymore. I used to sit on the boards for a ton of like nonprofits and just to say, hey, I can't do this anymore, for me was like the hardest thing to do.
Yeah. It was, what do I really need in my life? And, I say, cut the BS, it's silence your ego and then just swallow your pride and do it, do what you need to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is hard. And someone says, I feel like you're speaking directly to me. You want to know why it feels like that? Because I'm an owner too. I'm an owner too. And I've been where you're at. And I might be back there one day. If anyone ever tells you that like, oh, I don't experience that no more. Like that's baloney. It's an evolution. And I might come back to this, but it's at a different level. Your self-sabotaging tendencies, you can learn to like, spot or see or recognize. That's what I was looking for, recognize. But they're always going to be some sort of an issue, even as you grow and evolve. And the other day, you know, I was like, holy crap, how many people do we have on our team right now? Virtual team?
30-something, 40.
Oh, no, that's, holy crap. I was like, we have 35 remote team members. 35 remote team members. For the softwares and for the various softwares we have. And I was like, 35. I was like, holy crap. And then, you know, you come to like realization, you're like, oh, I need to like clean up my act. because I still, those things are an evolution. I could have 40 and I might get stuck back into something that I once conquered, but at 50 employees, it gets different. It's the same thing at a different level.
And that's what kicked it off for me.
Yep. And that's what Chris has never run a dev team with six people, including himself.
I've ran an ops team.
You've ran an ops team and an AI team at that, because we've completely shifted to an AI first product team when it comes to like the software. He's never ran that. He has no clue what he's doing.
Right.
He's trying. In the meeting and they sound really smart. Yeah,
fell forward.
And that's why that self-sabotaging tendency might have creeped back up. And I have the same issue. And so when you said it sounds like you're speaking to me, it's because I've either been where you're at or I'm at where you're at. And it doesn't matter how much money I have or how big my team is. Business, there is always struggles in business. And here's the funny part. They're the same struggles. They're the same struggles. They're just at a different level. Whether I'm a $5 million business or a $1 million business, you're going to have the same struggles. They're just at different evolutions or levels. Yeah, the $5 million business struggle is more pressure. It's probably bigger decisions, bigger moves, but they're this realistically just adjacent or very similar.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's why it sounds like we're speaking to you. We're in it too. We're owner operators. We own home service, cleaning, software, AI. We're parents. We're husband and wives working together, and we have children and small children at that. Yeah, I was only eight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Small children at that. Well, we have big children too. So we feel your pain with big children as well.
Yeah.
Because we have a 28-year-old and an 18-year-old.
All different levels.
We feel your pain. And so our whole point of like the podcast and going live with these is that you're not alone. And because sometimes business can make you feel alone. It can make you feel like you're losing your mind. It can. And then running a business with children, oh my gosh. I always say like the Cody Sanchez of the world and the Alex Hormozi and Layla Hormozis. I'm like, they ain't got kids. I'm like, I could work 24 hours a day too if I didn't have kids. And it's a different struggle. It's just different. And then when you work with your spouse, that adds a different layer of complexity. And then if you work with family, like, so my mom works with us and my son works with us, my husband works with us, then that adds a different layer of complexity. And so I don't think any of them are wrong at all. I'm just saying that business, like depending on the lens that you're looking at it through, it might hit harder when you're relating with someone that is going through the same thing you're going through.
Yeah.
Like if you're trying to build that business with kids or spouse, or family member. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just taking it back to just maybe hone in or zero in on where somebody is where you want to be, but under the same circumstances, where kind of paying attention to those that are where you want to be, but under the same circumstances. That's what I wanted to say.
Well, it's relative.
Relative. Yeah. And so there might be things that you can help kind of pin down, maybe not all of it, but certain things that you can pin down to say, okay, well, that does sound like me and that does sound like my situation. So I think that's great to be able to take away just little pieces.
Oh, I say take it with a grain of salt. Like,
yeah.
I love all of them and I do follow all of them. But it's like, I always say, if I didn't have kids, Alex Hormozi puts like double headphones on, chews the nicotine gum, and I think does coffee or energy drink.
Yeah.
I couldn't do double headphones. I would literally be so paranoid that one of my kids would call me or break their leg.
Meanwhile, there's a 2-year-old running through the house for some of you parents.
I would love to put double headphones on and not be able to pay attention to anybody, but that isn't my reality. We keep telling Chris, one day I can wear double headphones and chew nicotine gum and work for 16 hours straight. But I can't do that. Even with like my 28-year-old, I can't do that because what if he calls me and he needs something? I think maybe it's the parent in me. I'm like, I just can't do it.
So the environment, the environments are different. And so just adapt it to your environment, your situation.
And that's why I say, take it with a grain of salt. Take the things you can do, right? And the things that you can't do, you just can't do them. And that's fine. And that's why I love life and business, is that you can run it and live it on your terms. So, and I think that's a great way to close right now, is that you can live life on your terms. And so we want to make sure that in life and in business, you're not adding layers, not adding complexity, that it's all about less is more, and that you get more results at the end of the day, living and running a one layer deep business and life. Yeah, we will see you guys next weekend.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.